marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtrooms, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway. Those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken, glad in garments white as snow. The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng and the flurry of God's trumpets.
What a day! What a day! We'll come back to that and hear the rest of it. What a joy to bring you Open Bible Dialogue today. The King is coming. I said, the King is coming. The rapture any moment now. Any moment. I wish every preacher would say that every time they got in the pulpit, at least one time. The king is coming. The king is coming. And I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait for him to come. I am anxious for him to come. I am ready for him to come. And when he comes, I'm leaving. I won't have time to say goodbye. Hey, we got a great broadcast today. We're doing a series on Israel. Israel, Jerusalem. Oh, that's the ultimate goal, is a Holy Ghost revival in Jerusalem when the 7 years of the Great Tribulation is over. Just before Jesus sets up a kingdom on this earth to reign 1,000 years. But we got to get there. And so one of the points in getting there is a 7 year period that in the Old Testament is called Jacob's trouble. In the Old Testament, called Jacob's trouble. In the New Testament, it's called the Great Tribulation. Now, Jesus gave Jacob's trouble from the Old Testament in Matthew 24 the name, the Great Tribulation. Jacob's trouble, the Great Tribulation. Same time, same thing, same frame, just a different name. One for Israel, Jacob's trouble. One for the Gentiles left who missed the rapture, the New Testament. That's the New Testament people left over who will not get right with God, who are determined not to get right with God. So one, Jacob's trouble, Israel that misses the rapture. One is Gentile trouble, the people on this earth now who miss the rapture, or whenever the rapture takes place, of course. Now, you understand all of this, and it is quite thrilling. I'm telling you, it's quite thrilling to study. But today, we're going to look at Jacob's trouble. Now, I want you to take a moment and really get this on your mind and get your Bible open. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 21, and let's begin together in Luke 21, and let's understand what we are talking about, okay? Let's understand. Let me take you there. Luke 21, verse 20. Luke 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Jerusalem flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of the of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereto. For these be the days of vengeance. That all things which are written will be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for it shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. Now notice this verse. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden under foot. And Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot, or trodden down, of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, you're talking about this period when the rapture occurs. You're talking about the time when Jerusalem is already being troubled. I mean, Jerusalem right now is in consternation. I guess that's the right word. And there's great trouble. But you wait till that rapture occurs, and here what we see, that Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. These shall be the signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, the sea, and the waves roaring. Now we're talking about Jacob's trouble. The great tribulation. Now you say, I want Israel to have peace, and I do too. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but it's a process. For the peace of Jerusalem to be fulfilled, there's got to be Jacob's trouble. There's got to be the time of the great tribulation. Before that, the rapture occurs. Then those 7 years begin that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Jacob's trouble. I want you to learn to use that term, Jacob's trouble, as well as the great tribulation. They are same. They are synonymous. They happen and occur at the same time. One relates to the trouble that Jacob and Israel is going to have. One relates to the people that missed the rapture, the Gentile world, and the trouble they are going to have. Now, I've tried to do a list of things that occur in these 7 years. Now, you got to get with me. I hope you do, because I'd like to have all the questions I can answer today, and maybe some I can't answer. That's okay with me. I'm not all smart. I don't know everything. I have to say occasionally, hey, I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not against that. I'm here to tell you, this old man is a human. This old man is limited. I see through a glass darkly. You know, the Bible says that about all of us. And if we don't admit that, then we're just haughty and proud. That's all I can say. And I'm not haughty or proud because I know how much I don't know. That's a good thing to ever know, is how much you don't know. But I know enough about the great tribulation and Jacob's trouble to come to you and try to get you studying. Because when you learn about the Bible, it overwhelms you. There's nothing quite as wonderful. And let me give you some things. I read you that scripture. We're going to go to Revelation 11. We're going to go back to Zechariah 13. And we're going to learn some things together that will help us today to grasp this great subject. Now remember, the great tribulation, our Old Testament term, Jacob's trouble. That's what we're studying today. We're in the midst of getting ready for the end of the tribulation period when Jesus will go to Jerusalem and all Israel will be saved because there'll be a Holy Ghost revival in Jerusalem. And as soon as that revival is over and all the Jewish world are saved, Jesus will set up his kingdom on this earth and reign from Jerusalem now. That'll be his capital for 1,000 years. Wow, we got so much to get involved in and help you learn. Now, number one, the 7 years, Jacob's trouble, the darkest period of Israel's history. Are you listening to me? The darkest period of history, of Israel's history. Never been a time in the whole history of Israel that's as dark as this time. 2/3 of all the Jews living will be killed by the Antichrist and his goons. I mean, 2/3 of all the Jews living on the earth at this time, the middle of the tribulation, is when the real massacre starts. Two-thirds of all Jews alive will be killed, slaughtered. They will be killed so viciously and so darkly that words don't describe the misery and the suffering that they will endure. That's during Jacob's trouble, those 7 years. Now, number two, a false Messiah. A false Messiah will capture the interest of Israel at the beginning of this 7 years, and they will make a covenant with a false Messiah. A false Messiah. He's a lying Messiah. He's a deceiver. He is full of deception, and he makes a covenant with Israel, and for 3.5 years approximately, he rules over Israel, and they serve him, and they're faithful to him. But suddenly, he does something that is so blasphemous, that is so overwhelming, that even the Jews know better. He sets up an image of his temple, of his image of himself in the new temple in Jerusalem. He puts himself on the altar, sets up his image, and says, "I am the Messiah. Now worship me." And for him to put an image in the temple, they know better than that. The second commandment says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images." And Israel knows that fully and completely and utterly. And so they know they've been deceived. They know they've been deceived. That will occur about the middle of the 7 years. He sets up his image in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, we're going to talk about that, but won't get much time today to talk about it, but we'll get it to next Saturday. But you need to understand, when that old Antichrist sets up his temple, his image, I should say, in the temple in Jerusalem, all hell breaks loose. The Bible tells the Jews to flee Jerusalem. The Bible says flee Jerusalem. I just read it. Luke 21. And they begin to flee, and the Antichrist begins to chase them with his goons and slaughters them so viciously that there's never been anything like it. They will be murdered. They will be attacked with such viciousness and such misery. It will be a hellish period of time. And 3.5 years, that will go on. Now, during those 3.5 years, I need to take you to Revelation to just read it to you, because it is quite overwhelming when you begin to read what this wonderful book tells us, so that we understand it clearly. I want you to get it from the Bible. In the book of Revelation 11, chapter 11, And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar of them that worship therein." But the court, that's outside the temple, which is without the temple, leave out and measure not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, the last part of that Jacob's trouble, 7 years, was the 3.5 years that God's going to turn loose the Antichrist and all of his goons and all of his evil characters, and they're going to tread underfoot the city of Jerusalem for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That's half of the 7-year period. Now, you understand, that's going to be something vicious. Jews will be fleeing everywhere. They'll be getting on planes and boats and fleeing into the deserts and hiding. It will be a horrible period. And the Antichrist will be so angry when they reject his image that he sets up in their temple that he will go after them with fury, with fury, with fury. It's going to be overwhelming. Now, you understand what I'm telling you. I'm telling you about the period of Jacob's trouble. And I'm telling you, when they reject the image of the Antichrist that he sets up in their temple, he will become ferocious with them, and he will go out to destroy them. I mean, he will give them his worst anger. Now, during the same 3.5 years, something strange happens. I mean, this one is a good one. I love it. Verse 3, same chapter. Listen, and I will give unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years also. Clothed in sackcloth. These are my 2 olive trees and 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, the fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in the same manner killed. Now, during this 3.5 years, when the Antichrist is chasing Jewish people all over the face of the earth and slaying them, killing 2/3 of all the Jewish people living, God will have 2 prophets, Jewish prophets, and they will prophesy to the whole world, and they will prophesy the truth. They'll even shut the heavens. They'll be able to perform all kinds of miracles. They will be incredible prophets, and the Antichrist will hate them with a passion and go after them. Let me read you a little more. It is really breathtaking material. If any man will hurt them, then the fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. They have fire that proceeds out of their mouth. Oh, what a prophet. What a man of God these are. And they devour their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he in the same manner shall be killed. These have power to shut heaven. And it rains not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with plagues, and often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, at the end of the 3.5 years, right down as it comes down to the crux, down to the end of 7 years, those 2 prophets are finally killed in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, and they are left laying on the streets in Jerusalem to rot and to decompose right on the streets. And the Bible says that the world will see them. I mean, the Antichrist will say, look here, I've defeated those 2 prophets, and he shows it to the world. He shows it to the world. But suddenly, that the very life of God enters into those 2 prophets right in front of their cameras, right in front of all their witnesses, and those 2 prophets ascend up and into heaven. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but we're talking about something spectacular. You're talking about getting the world's attention. You're talking about waking up that Antichrist, that his jig is up, that he's coming down to the end. Well, that's not all that really happens, because during the same period, Babylon, the capital of the Antichrist, is going to be destroyed utterly. I mean, that will be his chief city. That city will be made into the very center of the wealth of the world. It will be so gorgeous and so beautiful, it will be like a false Garden of Eden. But suddenly God will destroy the city. Babylon will be destroyed. And then Rome. Rome will be the center of the religious world. Rome, the city on 7 hills. The city of the religious world. The false religious world. Well, it will be burned to the ground. So Babylon destroyed. Rome destroyed. And the Antichrist is now without a capital. He's now without the city of his religion. He's the one who destroys the city of Rome. The Antichrist gets angry. When he gets through with that religious crowd, he wants rid of them. He wants rid of them as soon as he gets through with them. As soon as he gets through with them. Now listen to me. He then marches on Jerusalem. That's when he goes to Megiddo. And that's when his armies send out their call to all the armies and nations of the earth. And they gather millions strong in Megiddo. They're getting ready, brother. They are angry. Jerusalem now is the center of their anger. And they're going to march on Jerusalem, brother. They're going to take care of those Jews for one last time. You hear them saying that now, don't you? You hear Arabs say from different quarters of the earth, we'll eliminate those Jews. We'll get rid of them. We'll drive them into the sea. They're nothing but pigs. They're nothing but monkeys. That's the words they use about the Jewish people. But they don't know that God is listening. They don't know that God is listening. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I hope you are. Now, this brings it down. And, you know, there's so much in all of this that I get overwhelmed with it. You can tell that, can't you? I get overwhelmed with it in teaching these great truths because much of our world have never heard them. Much of our world will not read the book of Revelation. This is clear in my book, The Masterpiece. I mean, it is clear. I've just sent a letter to the president, haven't heard yet. I'm thinking about making it a public letter to him. And I want to hear from him because I want to send him the book because I want him to understand when he talks about Israel and the Jews, he needs to understand some Bible prophecy. He's got a good heart and he's after the right things, but he needs to go ahead and move the embassy, American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That would send a signal to the earth that he does understand a little bit of Bible prophecy. I'd like to teach it to him, and I'm trying to get a book in his hands, so you pray for God to help me with that. But you hear me. This is Jacob's trouble. This is the darkest period of humankind. Now, let me read you a little more here about those two prophets. I love this. I love this. They have power to shut the heaven that rain not during the time of their prophecy. They have power to turn water into blood, to smite the earth with plagues and curses. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lay in the streets of great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom and Egypt, I'm sorry, where also our Lord was crucified. See, he calls it by its spiritual name, Sodom and Egypt. But then he gives it a spiritual name where the Lord was crucified. You know, same city, but from different perspectives. Isn't that beautiful? And their dead bodies shall lay in the streets of the city, and they of the people and kings, kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days, woo! And after three days, I tell you and a half, the spirit of life from God enters into them. And they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies behold them. Now listen, friend. This is going to be somewhat of an hour. I must read. In the same hour was there a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, that's bringing us down to the end of the 7 years. So following all of this, of course, is the gathering of the armies in Megiddo, getting ready to march on Jerusalem. But God has the last word. Now, I want to read you so that you don't forget. And the lines are now open, okay? 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Local number 704-3. Well, that was the local number. Now the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, email jrc@paulcreek.org. I want to host the questions. Get ready right now. I don't care what the question is. I'll answer it the best of my ability. I will help you. I want us to understand we are dealing with something that has to do with the end. I'm talking about the end. We are so close to the end. It's amazing to me. And I'm amazed that most people don't know anything about it. Most churches are not hearing it. Most preachers are too lazy to study and dig in this Bible until they can preach it. But I'm telling you, it's the late hour. We're so near the coming of the Lord. I'm going to be out of here maybe today. Maybe today. Wouldn't that be something? I'd like to go up in the rapture in the middle of this radio program. Now, wouldn't that be good? Right here, sitting, talking to you all over the world, Facebook and internet and radio, and suddenly Brother Chambers is just gone. And you look and you see my clothes laying here behind me. I guess you could see them. Maybe somebody will come in. No, there won't be. I hope there's nobody left here. She won't be my wife. She'll be gone ahead of me. I promise you that. I'm here to tell you, it could happen today. It could happen while I'm sitting here. You'll at least see my glasses fall on the table. Because I'm going to be gone, friend, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. How about that? Now, I want to give you this booklet today, Jacob's Trouble and the Great Tribulation. This booklet is something that every minister ought to read. You would have to preach on it if you read this booklet. It would be that shattering to you to understand. And it's very clear. It's all biblical. I mean, I feel things with the Bible. When I write something to give you what the Bible says. I'm not sitting here to give you my opinion. I want to give you what the Bible says, because that's really what counts. Now, grab the phones. They're open. The ladies are standing by right now. Ladies are standing by. My sweetheart wife and Judy, Judy Lawless, works in our office. They're standing by to take your phone calls. Dial the phone quickly. 1-800-338-7884. Local 704-391-0588. I want questions. This is a great subject. You've heard me say the things that's going to happen relative to Israel. All the way now, you've heard what I've been saying. You know what I'm saying is right in the Bible. Anybody with good understanding of the Bible knows Brother Chambers is right on target. There are books, many books that have been written by men like Tim LaHaye and many others, Grant Jeffries and so many others that say the same thing I say, because it's plain in the Bible. If you're a pre-trib rapture person, you believe what I'm preaching because it's right here in the book of Revelation. And so, give us a call. I want your question. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Don't waste a minute, please. We used to get more calls than we get anymore. I don't understand that, unless it's because we're on Facebook and we're on internet. And, you know, we are certainly still on radio. So grab your phone. It's very important that you hear me. It really is very important. So grab your phone real quick. 1-800-338-7884. If you're listening by Facebook, you ought to share it with all of your Facebook friends and then pick up your phone and ask the question that you don't quite understand. Don't think anybody think you're dumb. Nobody's preaching this much. So how could you be less than unsure about these things? How could you be less than in need of some further information when you realize that preachers aren't preaching it? They don't have prophecy Bible studies anymore. And so much is going unpreached and untold and unknown, you know, and it troubles me. I want you to hear it all. I want you to hear everything this book teaches, because it's really, it's wonderful. Let me read to you. Zechariah chapter 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of the host, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Two parts. Therein. Now he's talking about the tribulation period, Jacob's trouble. And he says two parts, that's two out of three, two thirds shall be cut off and die. And the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third through the fire. Notice now, I will bring the third through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. Listen now. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Oh, shata ramileka ho subipika. Oh, I feel His Holy Ghost so wonderful. See, at the end of that tribulation period, the third that's left, He will refine them as silver is refined. And He will try them as gold is tried. And they shall be redeemed. And they shall call on my name, He says, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Whew. You know, we're talking about the end of those 7 years. We're talking about when that Holy Ghost revival comes to Jerusalem. We're talking about the time when Jacob's trouble will finally be over. And it'll be time to set up the kingdom of Christ on the earth. It's going to be a great day. Are you hearing me? It's going to be a great day. It really is. Now, I'm going to save the rest of this hour, 30 minutes, for questions and answers. And if you don't call, then I'm going to be sitting here looking at you. Okay? So grab your phone right now. I want you to ask or help me. Maybe you have some perspectives I don't have. Maybe you've studied this more than I've studied it. Then I want your help. I want people to understand that the Jewish people are special to God. They are so special that here we are coming down to the end, and you got two movements. You got a movement among Gentiles and a movement among the Jews. The movement among the Gentiles, millions of them will be saved. Millions of them will be saved in the 7 year tribulation period. And you see that in Revelation chapter 7, when a multitude that no man can number of all nations and kindreds all over this earth will be gloriously saved. That's from the Gentile side. Those who missed the understand the rapture or didn't care about the rapture or just didn't care about God and didn't want to get ready to meet Him. And there will be a multitude of them, and many will be saved, and most of them will die hideous deaths. It will be dark and it will be black. It will be terrible. But on the other side, here's the Gentiles, here's the Jews. And the Jews are being slaughtered. They've got their prophets that are preaching. They're fleeing from Jerusalem. And finally, as the end begins to come, God begins to refine them. God begins to deal with them. And by the end of the 7 years, when Jesus shows up in Jerusalem, they'll be ready to be saved. They'll be ready to repent of their sins. They'll be ready to receive the Messiah that they rejected 2,000 years ago. It's going to be something special. We're talking about material stuff in the Bible, truth in the Bible that is so breathtaking. Until I'm just sitting here bouncing. You can tell that. It's overwhelming to me. It's overwhelming to me what a thrill it is to know these things are how God's going to do it and how God's going to bring it to a conclusion. It's not going to be some weak limp into eternity. It's going to be a shout and a hallelujah into eternity. I know there's been a lot of suffering when this 7 years is over. I know there's been a lot of hell poured out on the earth. But you just remember, God's got a plan that's beyond all human understanding. And I can hardly wait for that hour. I really can. I can hardly wait for that hour. Now, the phones must ring 1-800-338. I'm going to give you the phone numbers again. You may be new watching us, and so you don't remember, and it's hard to get them real quick. I'm going to raise my head up here over the whole thing so that I can make sure you see me. I want to be visible to you. You know, it is amazing to me how near we are to the coming of the Lord and how imminent that coming is. It's any moment. It's really any moment. And it's exciting to think about. Now grab your phones, 1-800-338-7884. You may want to send the question on email. I will be delighted to answer emails. They are very important to me. And I'm going to take a look and see if there's anything on email that I need to look at. Don't want to miss nothing here. You are important to me. I've got the email up, supposedly, where I can go straight to it. And let's see if there is a question. All right. We're waiting on you. I don't believe I see any. Maybe I do. A lot of things have been coming in since I've been here. Now here we are. Let's come down to the end of come to the front of this thing. Are you the same way with me as I am? Important messages? Nope. Don't have a thing here from you. Emails, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? I would love to hear from you. You are important to me. I promise you, I will do my best to hear your questions, and I will do my best to answer them, because answering your questions is very enjoyable to me. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Waiting for your calls. While I'm waiting, I'm going to go find some of these scriptures that you need to hear. Let me take you to Romans while you're calling. Romans chapter 11. Listen to this. But all of this shall change at the appointed time. Paul said it. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Speaking of Israel. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Speaking of Israel's fullness. Any moment now, we come to Israel's fullness. Going to be excited. It really is. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Woo! What a day. What a day. You know, it's exciting to live in the hour we're living. I'm not kidding you. It is exciting to live in this hour and to be watching for the King to appear. Let's take a call here. Call quickly now. I want you on the air today. You on the air? May I help you, please? You on the air? May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, and God bless you, first of all.
Say that again.
I say good afternoon, and God bless you, first of all.
Well, you know, I'm not hearing you. You're speaking too fast or something. So try again, and let's see if I can get what you're saying.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, thank God bless you. I was having a question.
Okay, good. A question.
All right, I was reading Revelation 18, and, well, I was studying the word sorcery inside Revelations, and it was referring to the word, the big word, pharmakia. And I was wondering, because it's talking about Babylon deceiving the nations through thoughts, which is pharmakia, but the definition was medication, kind of like potion and some other words that they had inside the Strong's Concordance. But my question was, like, how does that tie in with this administration or this president? What's going on with all these pharmaceutical companies getting big breaks? How does that tie into Revelations and today?
Well, you got to understand. Thank you for calling, sir. You got to understand that the economies of the world are called Babylon, as well as there's a city, Babylon, that is being rebuilt or will be rebuilt. It's not been much done there yet. And that's going to be the center of the economy of the world. And all of the economies are going to come under that same old Antichrist. You hear people fussing now about, you know, getting their jobs and the kind of treatment they get on the jobs and the kind of, you know, and our new president is trying to level the field and do some things to make it better. But it's not easy. Because this is under the power of the devil. If you are trying to figure out why the Democrats and why the liberals in America are putting up such a storm of a fuss, you got to understand that the world is coming under the spirit of Antichrist. And Satan is taking over through his Antichrist. And that's what's going to rule the world during the 7 years that I'm talking about, is this spirit of Antichrist, this spirit of the devil. This darkness that's coming. And believe me, friend, it's never been so dark as it's going to be. Now, thank you, sir. Now, call quickly and let me have your question. All about this end time. All about what's happening. How do we see it? How do we understand it? What is happening in the church world? Are you aware that the church world has so utterly left the old-fashioned truth of the Bible? Most people hate the book of Revelation. Most people want nothing to do with the book of Revelation because they think it's full of grief and darkness. No, it's full of both. It's got a lot of grief because the world's got to be judged. Only way to judge the world is there's got to be fire. There's got to be death. There's got to be the cleaning up of things. There's got to be the judgment of wickedness. There's got to be the kind of judgment that leaves this earth pure and wonderful. And that's coming. And you see that in Revelation. But you see these exciting things. How about those two prophets that are killed by the Antichrist, laying in the streets 3.5 days, decomposing, and suddenly life enters into them. And their bodies become whole again. And they resurrected and stand up before the crowd on camera in front of everybody. The world sees it. And they ascend up to heaven. Hallelujah. And the world begins to understand this is God's world, folks. This is God's world, folks, and no question about it. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Brother James. I was just thinking about what you were saying a while ago. You said that the Lord is coming for those who are watching for Him. And isn't it amazing that if you believe that He's coming, you are watching. And if you don't believe, you're not watching.
Well, I understand, but a lot of people who say they believe are not watching, and so I presume they aren't really believing. I just believe it's any minute. I'm hoping I'll leave here before 2 o'clock today. That's Eastern Standard Time. I hope I'll leave here before this broadcast is over, but if I don't, I'll be right back next Saturday if He hasn't come, and telling you it's time to look for Jesus.
Right, and that word watching for Jesus' return, that's another word for anticipating.
That's exactly right. Watching, anticipating. Unto them that look for Him, is looking for Him with a joyous expectation. Can you imagine if I could leave here right now with a brand new body and ascend up through the stratosphere and stand right before God, that the next thing on my calendar would probably be appearing at the judgment seat of Christ, and I would get to see Jesus face to face. And when I saw Jesus face to face, and He rewarded me, give me whatever crown I have earned, He would then take me and introduce me to the Father. And I would then see the Father face to face. Can you imagine? I've never seen God, but I'm fixing to see Him shortly.
Amen. I tell you, too, I want to ask the question, too. What does it mean when it says that He's coming back to a church without spot or blemish?
Exactly what He said. He's coming for a church that's been sanctified, that's been made holy, that has departed the life of sin, that has come to live the life of purity and righteousness and separation from the world. The church world is so like the world that you don't know the difference in the world and the church. You see the average church member on the street walking with the rest of the world, and you can't tell one from the other. That is not biblical, and that crowd isn't going up in the rapture.
Okay. That helps a lot right there. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, we are. Thank you, brother. Thank you much, and God bless you, and I hope everybody out there will grab a phone and call. I love you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Senator, I wanted to ask if you are familiar with any of the videos that have been put on YouTube as fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12, let the woman giving birth to the man child.
I don't know what it's saying, but I'm not acquainted with it. I have a video on that same subject.
Right. I would suggest, sir, that you go on YouTube, type in Revelation chapter 12 and September 23rd, 2017. There's one particular guy named Scott Clark. I think you would find very interesting.
What does he say? Just a synoptic, real quick.
He is saying that he's not saying the rapture is going to take place on the 23rd. It is calling this alignment of the planets and the constellation, the woman giving birth, Virgo.
Let me give you one answer to that. Now, this is as simple as I can make it. If anybody sets a date for Jesus to come, that means He can't come until that date. Anytime you try to say He can't come right now, you violate the scripture. The scripture makes it plain that the coming of the Lord is imminent. That word imminent means any moment. Any moment. Sure. And to set a date for him to come is false prophecy. It is fake. It is not true.
I wish you would take the time to look at what the gentleman has to say, sir.
Well, I will do that, but do you think he will convince me?
Just type in, just for your information, type in Revelation 12 and September
23. I will go and try to take a look at that, but I'm telling you, anybody that says he can't come until a certain date is false.
Sir, he's not saying that. He's not even saying he's coming on the 23rd. It's just the feast of trumpets is happening. It's taking place on the 23rd. All the other feast days.
Well, I agree that everything that's happening in the skies, I'm hearing all kinds of things about sounds being heard that are mysterious. There are things happening just today. I read where there was there was some kind of things appearing over cities called unidentified objects. I promise you, the months before us, this year and the next year, if Jesus tarries, we're going to see more signs and more things that are mysterious and more evident. And one day, about 2 o'clock, and I don't know what time it'll be, I'm just guessing now, the sun's going to go out. I mean, go out. May not stay out but an hour or two. And the world is going to go crazy because there will be no answer for what happened. And the only answer will be the Bible.
I agree with you, sir.
It's fixing to happen, brother.
God bless. I enjoy listening to your program. You have a blessed day.
God bless you. I'm so glad you called. Now, keep calling out there. I want to hear from you. I got 15 more minutes. I love calls. I love to answer your questions, and I want you to call and get this booklet. I'm here to tell you, this booklet is breathtaking. It is breathtaking. I read the whole thing this morning. I wrote it. But I read it this morning, and it blessed me from end to end. Had to correct a couple things because I love this kind of information. So full of the Bible. So dependable. You can't doubt it. You cannot. Now, I will send you with that something the Holy Ghost fed into me Wednesday. I was studying for Bible study Wednesday night, praying, seeking God, and suddenly the Spirit of God moved on me and gave me a formula for a great prayer life. A formula. A 10-point formula for a great prayer life. And so that was my lesson Wednesday night. And I had some great response. I had some great response. And so I got it written down, put in a little booklet, and I'll put it with that other booklet and send it to you. I'm going to send it to everybody I hear from for a few days, okay? Because I want you to develop a real prayer life, a dynamic prayer life, so that God can use you to reach a multitude of people. Now, the lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Let's see if there's anything here on the internet. I mean, on Facebook. I'm talking about Facebook. I'm talking about email. All right. Praise the Lord. Read 1 John 3 and 2. 1 John 3 and 2. I'll read that for somebody. I'm trying to answer everybody's questions anymore. 1 John 3 and 2. Hallelujah. I love 1 John. I'm here to tell you. 1 John 3 and 2. And it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, listen to that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Oh, what a day. Thank you. Thank you, dear friend. I wish I could get a bunch of people that really had great questions. And we could just dig right into this Bible and learn more and more about the coming of the Lord. I really love it when we can get right in the middle and we can learn. So grab your phone. 15 minutes to go. 14 minutes to go. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, I've studied with you today. I've studied with you today, in fact, in case you joined late, on the time of Jacob's trouble, the same as the great tribulation. Jacob's trouble is an Old Testament title for the same event that Jesus in the New Testament named the great tribulation. Jacob's trouble, great tribulation, synonymous. One has to do with Israel. One has to do with us Gentiles, the Gentile world, the Gentile church, and those who missed the rapture. So you need this because it will help you make sure you are ready. It'll help you make sure you are ready. If there's anything I want for you, is I want you to be ready. I really want you to be ready. So grab your phone and get on the lines. And any question you got, I'll do my best to answer you. I'm only here for the reason of blessing you and teaching you and bringing you these truths. Now, I need to tell you, while the lines are ringing, I need to tell you that tomorrow is Paul Creek Academy Sunday. Paul Creek Academy Sunday. Our students will be here and their families, we'll have a little music from them, a little picture of their learning the Bible and the scriptures and the things that they are growing in our school. And you really don't want to miss tomorrow. Begins at 10 till 11. Sunday school begins at 10, and then at 10 till 11, morning worship will begin. We'll sing and worship. The children will do their wonderful thing, and then I'm going to preach a sermon that you're going to love. Since it's Education Sunday, and when you think of education, you think of books. Well, I'm going to preach on when the books are open. When the books are open. I'd like for you to be here. I really would. I've got so many friends out there. Friends by the scads. I mean, wonderful people, wonderful friends. Now, I do want to send you this book. I do want to send you this formula for a great prayer life. That would be worth your calling to get the formula for a great prayer life. I promise you, you get in those, it's 10 points, 10 points. And you get in it and you follow that prescription as you get on your knees. Now, it's got to be from your heart. This is not some cold, calculated stuff. This is just a way for you, spiritually speaking, in a spiritual sense, to get before God and to truly become a great prayer warrior. I don't know anything the church needs like it needs great prayer warriors. I cannot think of nothing more needed than great prayer warriors. Okay? I want you to be one of them. I want your kids saved. I want my kids saved. I want my young people saved. I want to get them right with God. I've got some kids in my family, some grandchildren. Kids, I'm telling you, they're desperate. Find God. They know everything about it. They've heard the truth. They've watched Mama and I live a godly life in front of them all these years, and they will have no excuse. I'm here to tell you, I feel sorry for them if they go into eternity without preparing themselves. I really do. And I'm on my face praying. I'm confessing their sins. I'm repenting. Do you know, I'm going back through all the kids who have ever come to Paul Creek Christian Academy. 1974 is when our school started. And all the people that's ever attended this church, I came here in 1968. I'm going back, and I'm going through every bit of it. And I am weeping and praying for everybody that's ever passed through this church. Some of them are dead and gone to heaven. Of course, I don't mean that I pray for the dead. I do not. But I pray for those who are living. And I'm telling you, I am believing God for a harvest. So if you ever attended this church, I'm calling on God. If you're not in a good church, I'm in an old-fashioned church. I'm in a Holy Ghost-filled church. I'm in a holiness church. Then I'm praying for God to get you here. And to let me see your life turned upside down. And to see God take hold of you. And do something grand in your life and your walk with God. I'm really praying for you. Now, I'm waiting on your call. I want some more questions, okay? So the lines are being busy. And that's thrilling to me. But I do want you to have these two items. And I want you to call. You may want to ask me about prayer. You may want to ask me about prayer. The things about prayer are so imperative. The day has never been greater that we need men and women on their faces with God. And you on the air. May I help you, please?
Good afternoon, Pastor Chambers. How are you?
I am wonderful.
I've got a question. I've read your book on the book of Revelation, the masterpiece.
Okay, good.
And I've also read some other writings from other ministers, other teachers. And it's in reference to what the gentleman asked you about before, about the man-child. Now, I've read in yours where, is that where you call, you refer that to being Christ? And I've heard others say that refers to 144,000.
Now, which one is that? Tell me that again. What am I referring to?
We're talking about the man-child. The woman gave birth to the man-child.
Oh, yeah, the man-child. The man-child is the raptured saints. The man-child is the raptured saints. If you read on, they become elders. and they ruled the earth. I mean, when you read all about chapter 12 of Revelation, it is plain that that man-child is the raptured saints, the same as Revelation 4, where you have 24 elders. That's a typical number, means 24, 12 Old Testament saints, 12 New Testament saints. You'll see that that's called a multitude in Revelation 5. And you go to Revelation 12, you got a repeat of what you saw in Revelation 4. You got the rapture of the saints. You got the devil cast out of heaven. That happens at the very beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. There's no other appropriate time for it to happen. And so chapter 12 is definitely related to the rapture. You'll read the promise in chapter 12 that those who are part of that man-child are given the authority to rule the world. Well, that's the church. That's said over and over that the church is going to be his rulers during the thousand-year millennial reign. So it's all beautiful to me, and I love that particular chapter.
Yeah, I've read your book, and I've read a couple other ones. And I've also run into conflict because it seems to be, at first glance, talking about Christ. And when you go on to read a few more verses, it does appear it's talking about 144,000 or, church, whatever it was you just said.
Yeah, well, go back to chapter 4, and you'll find chapter 4 and 5. He makes it plain that everything from chapter 4 on is prophetic and futuristic.
Yeah.
You can't take it and carry it back to when Jesus was born because it's not past. It's not history. It is future prophecy. It is things yet to happen.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I've read your book and others talk about how from 4 on, it's all future events. So I thought, well, it can't be Christ.
That's exactly right. Has to be the bride of Christ. Because the bride of child is a masculine purity. That's why it's called a man child. It's because man means masculine. Masculine, pure, set apart. His rulers that's going to rule the world with him.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Doctor.
Hey, I'm delighted. God bless you. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please? I'm sorry. I was too late to get that one. Call back, please. Call back, please. Do I have someone else waiting? I want to hear from you. Hey, these questions are good. You don't understand that people, when you ask a question, they learn more than all of my talking because I'm talking fast because I got to get it all in. But then I'm trying to explain it to you, and then a question comes, and then I can make it simple. I try my best. So let's hear your question in these next 6 minutes, okay? Quickly, one after the other. You got to do it quick. 704-391-0588. If you're somewhere away and you want to call by toll-free, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Let me take a look here and see if I have a question. Do not have a question that I can find. I just always love it when you are busy asking me questions. I really do, because that's why I'm here. This is the question and answer program. You're my guest. I don't bring guests in here. You're my guest. I bring you in by phone. Now listen, we're right on the verge of Jesus coming. The suffering of Israel, nothing is more prophetic than to study history of Israel in Jerusalem. They became a nation in 1948. That's been 69 years. That's been 69, am I right? 69 years? Has to be. Why am I getting confused? Yeah, 69 years. 69 years. I hope I'm right. But it started in 1948, so 52 and 17 would have to be 69. Now, that is really wonderful material. And that's wonderful truth. And to learn and study those things is oh so good and so exciting. And we should love doing that and learning and living and knowing Israel. See, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We wonder why all of this is happening in Israel. Why are they so hated? Why is there so much anti-Semitism? Why do so many church people deny the book of Revelation? All of that's built on anti-Semitism. It's always built on anti-Semitism, hating Israel. Hating the Jews. They're both the envy and the hated of the world. And that's biblical. But remember, they're God's chosen people. Don't you forget that, brother and sister. They're God's chosen people. Now, let me tell you where we're going to go as we continue. as we continue. Next week, we're going to deal with the abomination of desolation in the Jewish temple. We'll go to the temple in the middle of the tribulation period and watch the Antichrist commit what the Bible calls, and Jesus is the one who did this, called it the abomination of desolation. He was quoting Daniel, who had also called it a similar name. So next week, that's what we're going to look at, the abomination of desolation, and try to help you see how close that is, how near that. Look at the church world. Look at all the things that are happening in the church world and how they're forsaken in the right way of the Lord and turning from the old paths to the new paths. Even the music has become so different, and they call it contemporary music. Well, there's probably some good contemporary songs if you listen to the words and all, but there's some spirit about it that's just strange. And it does something to people when they get in the mood of that spirit, because it has a deceiving effect. It really does. I've watched it. Any church that goes to contemporary music will quit preaching the rapture if they haven't already. Usually they've already quit preaching it before they begin to change those things. But if they haven't, they will. Because there's something happening today that has to do with the rapture that's really overwhelming to me. People are not remembered. Now, the next one will be God saves Jerusalem from complete destruction. God saves Jerusalem from complete... Can you imagine the Antichrist when he's killing Jews and he's killed millions of them and he's after every one of them? And his goons are everywhere, searching every holler and every corner and every building for a Jew so they can kill them. You got to understand, while he's doing that, he's going to think, I'm winning. But suddenly, all hell breaks loose on him, on the Antichrist. And he realizes he's not winning. He realizes he's losing. And then when he looks up and sees Jesus coming in the clouds, woo, coming in the heavens, riding a white horse, with the armies of heaven behind him, then the old Antichrist will realize, I'm losing. I'm about to lose. Can you imagine the gloom that will grip that crowd in that moment? And then the last of these six will be Jesus Christ appears in Jerusalem as the King of Kings. Now, these six DVDs and CDs are being made available. We just sent out a flyer. We'll send this to everybody who writes us. If you call us today and you're new on our list, you'll get a copy of this. You'll get a form in which you can order these six programs beginning 2 weeks ago and going 3 more weeks. Six programs on, and the title of it is When the Holy Ghost Revival Comes to Jerusalem. When the Holy Ghost Revival Comes to Jerusalem. The whole subject is the redemption of Israel. The redemption of Israel. The redemption of Israel. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about those kind of things. And I do love you, friend. I love you dearly. I am grateful that I am your friend. And don't ever want to be less than your friends. You understand? I want to be your friend down to the end. I do. And it's been a joy to come today with this broadcast and minister to you. Now the number, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Will you be in church with me tomorrow? And will you send me a wonderful gift this week to help us financially to pay for all this ministry we're doing? I need your help. I really need your help. Don't let me down. I need your help. You're important to me. I love you. I care about you. I want God's will in your life. I really want you to walk with him and love him and serve him. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the name of the Lord.